It is an honor and a pleasure to be amongst you, the saints, this morning, as not only do we worship in spiritual songs and having commemorated the memory of our Lord, the life that he lived, but also now as we seek to listen to the words of our God through the lips of his servant in accordance to his will. If you're visiting us, thank you for being here. Thank you for trusting us. And we hope and pray that if you have any questions in regards to what we are studying or any questions about the Bible in general, please stay and ask them. We would be more than willing to begin and engage in a Bible study with the intent of learning together what our God's Word teaches. If you will, please turn to your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, where we will be taking our thoughts following this year's theme from verse 7. Bible says the following: Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Please bow with me in prayer. Our heavenly and our beloved God, we once more come before thy throne of grace, grateful for the many blessings that have poured upon us. We're grateful for the opportunity, Father, that we've had to be able to assemble in accordance to thy word this first day of the week, so that we, Father, as we assemble together, can worship, Father, in spirit and in truth, seeking to present, Father, our bodies as a living sacrifice, seeking to be a sweet-smelling aroma in thy sight. Father, for our brethren who are unable to be with us this morning, please be with them, Father, and if it be thy will, grant them the opportunity and the blessing to rejoice with us in the spiritual feast later tonight. Father, as we engage in the study of thy word this morning, please be with us, thy servant. Please, Father, allow me to recall what I've been able to study, and that, Father, that which thou have taught me through thy word, not only may I share it with those amongst us today, but more importantly, that I, Father, may apply it in my daily living, Father, so that I too can contribute, if it be thy will, to those godly homes that are so necessary in our world. Father, be with our brethren, Father, that they may research everything that they hear, and that, Father, once we have confirmed if this is indeed thy will, that we, Father, may all have the courage to put it into practice as godly children. Forgive us for our sins, forgive us when we have failed thee, for we pray this not because we are worthy, but we do so in a humble spirit, in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We, as we've been saying, have been studying about the spousal responsibilities in accordance to God's design for the home. Last week, we spoke about the mutual responsibilities that need to be shared between husband and wife. But today, we want to examine 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Because the reason is that the Bible teaches us, brethren, that man was created first and not woman. Remember that woman was taken from man, and she was created because it is not good for man to be alone. So when we talk about this, brethren, we are going to begin by the same origin that our God himself left for us in his scriptures from the very beginning. We have to understand that good homes begin with good men. Godly homes begin with godly men. And no, the coincidence is that I did not even remember that today is when fathers are celebrated, but that was not what motivated me to want to speak about the husband in the home. But again, the reason is because in the scriptures, we see that man was created first. Thus, we have to understand that it takes a wise man to find a wise woman so that they can then create a prudent and godly home. Remember that you as husbands, brethren, are the ones whom God holds responsible for your home. You are the ones who are accountable for your home. But as we said last week through Scripture, we know that the burden of the responsibility does not fall on your shoulders only, but in your selection of a wise, godly woman, you will find someone who will help you carry this burden and who will help you when these decisions need wise counseling. Thus, what we see here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, is a description of a wise man's household. Notice what the Apostle Peter begins by teaching us. He says, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them." You see, again, the Bible tells us that marriage is honorable. He tells us that marriage is holy. And as we saw in our Bible study this morning, marriage is a good thing. It takes a wise man to understand this from the moment that he begins to seek the woman that will be, if you will, his other half. The woman that will complete him. But when we speak about the word complete, we have to understand that she completes him intellectually, she completes him emotionally, but more importantly, she should complete him spiritually. Because the role that the husband and the wife are to play for each other is to help each other get to eternity and spend it with God forevermore. So when we begin to see this, we see the role that God has given man through his inspired word. And he is describing to us what a good home is going to be determined by. And notice how here we see the Bible's depiction of a good husband. We see that God is describing, or if you will, he is taking his metaphorical paintbrush and he is painting or sketching what a good husband looks like. So that we as men should understand before we engage the relationship of the marriage, or if you are already married and have forgotten this, this is God's way of reminding you what he determines is a good husband. Now pay attention, ladies. It is not what you think is a good husband. It is not what you want to be a good husband. It is not according to what you determine makes him good. Because many times what we want is not good. We're seeing God's definition of this. We are seeing what God points to and said, there goes a good man. So when we study this, let's make sure that we do not abuse this text. Let's make sure we do not pervert and contaminate this text by wanting to use it in a way of trying to maneuver or manipulate our husbands. You know, once I heard a brother make a warning. And he said that yes, the man is the head of his household, but he must beware that the wife is not the neck that's moving the head around. Because we have many households that are in that way. That although he is the head, the neck is the one that controls the household. Thus we see that in verse 7, it begins by showing the opposite of that. Because it is he who makes a home into a dwelling place. It is he who begins by knowing how to dwell with her. So we begin then to see how the Bible teaches us that he creates and preserves a peaceful home. You notice how it says that you have to learn. He says, dwell with them with understanding. You see, a peaceful home, brethren, can be achieved. But once it is achieved, it is very difficult to keep. It is very difficult to preserve. Arguments will ensue. Disagreements will happen. But how those arguments and those disagreements are handled is how we preserve the peace. Turn in your Bibles now to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, beginning at verse 16. Proverbs 15, beginning at verse 16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. We as men many times can be impatient with our wives. This is why Peter begins by saying that we have to learn how to dwell with them with understanding. To dwell with them with understanding means that we have to be willing to learn to get to know them. That we have to be willing to learn what things trigger them, what things not, but how to best guide, lead, and teach them. Because a wise man is one who is slow to anger and he allays contention. In other words, he tries to always keep the argument out of the conversation. He is always cognizant of her emotions. He always makes the realization of what is the best way to give her the instruction that she requires. When we read this, notice how it says that better is little with fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Well, there's many examples we could use that explains very explicitly what this proverb is speaking of. Take for the example of the husband who works 18 hours a day. And when he gets home, he's only tired. And all he wants to do is rest because he has to wake up to work another 18 hours. Because he is trying to keep their great home, their three cars, and all of the great things that they have. Because this is what he believes makes his wife happy. But he's never there so that she can actually show him if she is or not. Versus a man who is content with what they have, who provides what they do need, but not only monetarily or physically, he also provides of his time, of his listening, and his love to her. Because what he values is his wife and being with her, and not having all these physical things around her that is ruining the relationship. Now, please don't misunderstand me. To have the providence and to be able to succeed financially is not a sin. But we're referring to a husband who wants to succeed at the cost of the relationship with his wife. You see, what should make a wife happy is a husband who understands that she needs him. She doesn't need his money. She doesn't need his physical or material gain. She needs him. She needs him to be there so that they can continue to build their home together. Once more, observe, better is dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. In other words, what good is it to be rich and to have all these great gains materialistically, but the relationship has no love? The spark has died. The relationship was never nourished because they were both too focused on making the financial gains possible. How often do we see the example from Hollywood? These stars who become so rich that when they're going to get married, words such as prenuptials begin to rise. Because they're already thinking about protecting their finances in case of a divorce. Well, if you're already thinking and considering a divorce, why get married at all? This is what Proverbs is telling us. This is what Peter is referring to. To dwell with them in understanding is acknowledging and realizing what is the true necessity of the relationship. What does my wife have to offer me so that I can be a better husband? But what does my wife require of me so that I can be a better husband? Because we are the ones that have been given the responsibility to lead our homes. We are the ones that have been given the responsibility to protect our homes. But if we don't know whom we are working with, if we don't know how to use the wife that God has blessed us with, then how can we expect to succeed? Remember, we're studying this because we need more godly homes in this world. And a godly home, a wise home, begins with a wise leader. So we begin by seeing how the Apostle Peter says that we have to learn to dwell with them with understanding. We have to be willing to not become impatient with them. Many times we lose our patience because we think that they should know something and we believe that they should be able to read our minds. Sometimes we become impatient because we don't learn to interpret their female speak. And yes, ladies, sometimes you confuse us because you don't tell us straight off what you want. But the reality is this, if we do not understand, it's as simple as telling her, I don't understand. Now, will she get angry? Yes. Will she get upset? Of course. But she shouldn't. Because this is where the wise husband tells her, if you want me to know what you need to understand, I don't understand. Speak clearly. But not grow impatient, not give an argument breath, not create a contention that could have been avoided. Because we're the ones that are being told by Scripture, You have to dwell with her with understanding. Look what God is already saying about the wife in that passage when he's telling the man, you have to dwell with her in understanding. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Again, verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. Notice, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Now, ladies, we must not become offended by what Scripture is saying, but rather we must understand what Scripture is saying. When it calls you the weaker vessel, it does not mean that you cannot be as strong as a man when it comes to wisdom. It is not referring to that you are less valuable than he is. Because observe, many times, especially those who are of the feminist mentality, focus more on the word weaker, and yet they do not see or ignore that God is talking about honor. He is telling the man that he is to honor his wife. He is to acknowledge and recognize the value of his wife. He is not to honor her because she's a fragile being. That's not what it's saying there. It's saying there that he has to honor her and he has to treat her as this delicate, valuable, very precious ornament that must be taken care of. Because there is none like it in the world. And if it is to break, that's the end of that precious possession that you have. When he says the weaker vessel, he's not saying that you are less valuable, but rather he is showing how valuable you are and how the man is to honor you. That was what he's referring to. Think, if you will, of a curator. When they have these ancient Greek vessels, right? These vessels that are made out of clay that are so old, but are so valuable and precious because of their history and what they say about us. They go to the extent that when they're going to preserve them and grab them, they wear even gloves and they make sure that it is a certain type of glove and that there are no types of contaminants in the air, and they'll even put them in these airtight rooms so that the moisture won't damage them. That's the idea that God has given us here. You see, brethren, our wives are valuable to our salvation. Our wives are valuable to our home because they are the future mother of our children. They are going to be the ones who are going to teach our children how to keep the commandments that we leave behind. Our wives are just as valuable as we are to the relationship. Thus, when the Bible tells us that we have to honor them, this means that we have to recognize that they are not just some servant or helper to be there for us. She's not someone who was given to me so that she can serve me food and clean the house only. And the Bible tells us why. She is heirs together with you. Did you catch that? Christ died for her too. He shed his blood and made her valuable too. And she too will enter into heaven if she's faithful, even if you're not. Now let's turn to Proverb 31. Proverb 31, beginning at verse 26. Book of Proverbs, verse 31. Chapter 31, excuse me. Beginning at verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. This is what Peter is describing, isn't it? This is a man who values his wife. This is a man who recognizes the value she has to him in his life. Notice what the praise is. You see, verse 29 is the praise uttered by the lips of this husband. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. How do you believe this wife felt hearing her husband tell her, of all the women that I've seen, and of all the daughters that I know have been good wives, no one is better than you. I am the most blessed man in this world because you are my wife. The fact that you took my hand in marriage, the fact that you were willing to work with me, there is no woman like you, because you and you alone were the only one that makes me feel complete. He recognizes her value. He appreciates her value. But he sees that she is humble and wise enough to hear him say, I love you. Thank you for being my wife. We're not going to tell him every day, right? But not only are we going to say it, it's even more valuable when we show it, when we display it. And how do we do it? Well, how many times when the Bible speaks to the husband, we see that the commandment that is given is, husbands, love your wives. You know, again, we usually see that in Scripture there's like 3-4 verses telling the wife to be submissive and to do this and to do that. And don't worry, ladies, your day will be next Sunday. Today we're going to talk on the husbands, but I hope you're here next Sunday. But notice, when it comes to the men, it seems like God only has one thing to say, but yet that one thing he has to say, it's heavier than everything else. Husbands, love your wives. So what? She's not to love me then? She's only supposed to be submissive? That's not what Scripture's saying. Scripture's saying is, if you love your wife like you're supposed to, the rest will follow through. And to love your wife is to acknowledge that she is valuable in your spiritual growth. That she is valuable. That her counsel is valuable. That she, if she indeed is comparable to you as it should have been, her input is valuable. Her support is valuable. Because she is the gift of the Lord to you, husband. That alone should show us as men just how valuable our wives really are. Because it was the Lord, especially if she is a prudent wife, especially if she is a spiritual woman, especially if she is meek and humble. Because the prudent wife is provided by the Lord. The fact that God brought her to us is enough for us to understand that indeed, like the weaker vessel or the fragile vessel that is very precious, we need to tend to her. We need to tend to her needs, because her addition to our lives makes our lives that much better. So when we read in Scripture, brethren, again, we notice that a wise man is one who creates and preserves a peaceful household. We see how a wise man is humble and meek in recognizing what his wife brings to the table, if she is indeed a prudent wife. But then we see how the Apostle Peter speaks about diligently guarding the holiness, doesn't he? You see, there's something peculiar, and before we go to the proverb, again, let us go back to 1 Peter chapter 3. There's something very peculiar that the Apostle Peter says that often is misunderstood. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, again, we'll read it again. Husbands, likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. There's the part that is peculiar, isn't it? So if I am not giving my wife understanding, if I am not giving my wife honor, if I am not treating her as a co-heir with me, then what does this mean that my prayers will be hindered? Well, the reason is quite simple. It isn't because she's your wife only, but it is that in addition to being your wife, she too is a Christian. And if you offend your sister in Christ and do not reconcile with her, well, then you need to go back and read Matthew 18. You need to go back and read Matthew 5, 32 and forward. Because that's what Peter's saying. When husbands mistreat their wives, when husbands belittle the value of their wives, when husbands do not treat them as they should be, then they are not being godly. Because they are ignoring the very important trait that that woman has, and that is that she is a daughter of Christ. That's why the prayers are hindered. Because when we read Matthew 18, the Bible teaches us that Christ Himself says that we are to leave our offering there and go and be reconciled to your brother. This is what is being taught here. That in a relationship of husband and wife, it must not be ignored or forgotten from either one that we are still brother and sister in Christ. When that godly mentality dominates the household, when that godly realization dominates the marriage, it does wonders to help alleviate problems or to solve those problems in a godly way. Because if you look at your wife not solely as the wife, but also as your sister in Christ, you will learn to speak to her in a godly manner. If the wife learns to see her husband not just as her provider, but as her brother in Christ, she will learn to follow his example, because that is what the Bible teaches. Now let's turn to Proverbs 2. Notice what Scripture says there, beginning at verse 10. When wisdom enters your heart, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of unrighteousness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of your youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. Here is why your prayers are hindered. Because if you are not being wise with her whom you love and live with, how will you be wise with your brother whom you only see every so often? And if you are wise with those that are outside of your home, and are not wise within your own home, well then, Scripture says that you are worse than an unbeliever. You see, brethren, the Scriptures are very clear. When the Bible tells us that we are to love others as we love ourselves, this is especially true of the one who makes you complete. Because the two shall be one, remember? And remember that Scripture teaches us that whatever the man does to his body, he does to his wife as well. And whatever the wife does to her body, she does to her husband as well. Because the two shall be one flesh, says Scripture. So when you are treating her roughly, when you are being inconsiderate, when you are not honoring her as a fellow co-heir of Christ like you are unwise because you're doing it to yourself. Because you are two that should be one. This is where adulteries come from. This is where infidelities come from. This is how divorces are bred. There's no wisdom in the home. You read carefully Proverbs 2, 10 and forward. That's what we read here. Because notice that wisdom avoids from verse 11 all the way to verse 21. Notice everything that wisdom avoids us. And amongst the list that it gives us, it avoids us the seductress woman, doesn't it? The homebreaker, as we say. The homewrecker. But why is she able to seduce the husband? It's not her beauty. It's his lack of wisdom. When we, brethren, strive to be godly husbands, we will be blessed with a godly wife. And if in our godliness we create a dwelling of peace and preserve it, if we honor and recognize their value because they were given to us by God, well then we will be diligent to the spiritual affairs as one. Because the one thing that will always be in the mind of both those spiritual people is that the presence of God must never leave our home. We have to make sure that we don't kick God out. And God is telling us, men, you're responsible to preserve that. It is your responsibility to lead your wife. Whom does God make responsible for losing paradise? Whom does he request an accountability from? When we read Paul speak of this in Romans chapter 5, whom does the Holy Spirit say brought sin into the world? Doesn't say Eve. For sin entered the world by one man. And by that man, death to the rest of the world. Well, here's the incredible thing about Scripture. The same is true for the home. If a man is not godly, if a man is not wise, if a man is not spiritual, if he is not the spiritual leader of his home that he ought to be, by that man's spiritual negligence, death will come to the rest of his home. He will have a wife who does not submit, and he will create and raise children who are rebellious and not God-fearing. It starts with us, brothers. Now, I'm not saying that by being spiritual, being wise, and being godly, it's going to secure those things. No. But it gives us the right start, because that's what Scripture teaches us. It's not going to be easy. Of course not. Because anytime we want to do what's right, it's an up climb. But if the husband leads spiritually, humbly, and wisely, and the wife follows spiritually, wisely, and humbly, well, there we see fertile ground for a godly home. But it begins with us. Adam did not do his part. I'm not saying Adam Moreno, right? Adam, the first man, did not do his part. He did not counsel his wife against eating whatever the fruit was, right? He did not tell her, no, the fruit isn't good. You're being deceived. He did not tell her, stop talking to that snake. Come back home. Let's go back home. You're not listening to reason right now, so right now we're going to go home. Once you're listening to reason and you're no longer alert or hypnotized, then we can talk. But right now you're not listening to reason. And right now, you're about to get us kicked out of paradise. So let's go home and get away, as far away from that forbidden fruit. But Adam didn't do that, did he? Scripture says, and she gave to him, and he ate. And Eve had a hard time convincing him, didn't she? The first family failed because of lack of leadership. Lack of wise leadership. The one in control was not the one that God had designated. It was supposed to be Adam, but Adam allowed his wife to take the reins. You see how when that happens, their prayers did get hindered? They were separated from God. They were hiding from God. And eventually, they were kicked out of God's presence. So brothers, let's make sure that when we read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, that it becomes a mirror to us. And that we indeed are seeing ourselves in that mirror, in that depiction of what God determines a good husband is. Let's make sure that when we look upon that scripture, that we are doing everything possible to diligently preserve God's presence in our home, so that we can then learn to honor our wives because they are indeed valuable, and that we can know how to live with them in a peaceful home, in a godly home. My friend, you do not have that relationship with God yet. We must not forget what Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 and 4 teaches us. When it speaks to the husbands, again, the bar is put high because it tells us that we should be like Christ is the husband to the bride, known as the church. But see, Christ cannot be your betrothed just yet. Because when we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 4 and forward, the Apostle Paul speaks about the fact that we as a church are a chaste virgin who has been betrothed to Christ. But while you are in sin and are in disobedience, not having obeyed the gospel, this cannot be true with you. Because your sin is what defiles you. Your sin is what separates you from Christ. But Christ has shed his blood to make it right. And that blood is accessed through the waters of baptism, by obeying the gospel in them. But it begins by hearing the word of God, believing it, meaning accepting it as true, allowing it to change your heart from being a sinner to being an obedient servant, which is known as repentance, having the boldness to confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that his blood will cleanse away your sins. But then you get engaged to him when you get baptized in the waters of baptism. But the relationship doesn't end there. It begins there. Because now after you rise to a newness of life, Romans chapter 6 verse 4, you have to be faithful until death brings us together. Remember, in Christ, death does not do us part. In Christ, death brings us together. Don't you want to be reunited with the good husband known as Jesus Christ? If there's anyone open to accept the gospel call of salvation, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing that hymn of invitation.